I want to talk to you this morning about the last hour. I didn't say I want to talk to you for an hour. I said I'll talk to you about the last hour. Okay, you got it. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and I'll begin, I've got three up there. We'll begin with verse 1, 20 and 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." When those came who were hired about the 11th hour, each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise each received a denarius. When they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did not you agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your greatness and goodness today. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant, God, to minister your word. I pray you'd talk to the hearts of Holy Spirit of God. You'd talk to the hearts of people as only you can do. And Lord, I pray, Lord, encouragement, strength, grace would come to each one. Help us today, God, as we explore your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The last hour. Have you ever waited till the last hour to do something? Or the last minute? Like the inspection sticker on your car? Yeah. Got an honest guy. Amen. And so people wait till the last moment. I know of one lady that waited till the last hour to fix her hair. And she said, "I don't pay people to fix my hair for me." She said, "I just pull it all up on a ponytail on top of my head and just whack it off. It's much cheaper." And her hair looked like a bale of hay shot out of a cannon. That wouldn't have any use, so don't worry about it. But denarii, King James says a penny a day was about the wage for a day then. Old Testament time. Under Old Testament law, they were required to pay you before you left that day. They didn't give you 2 weeks to write a check. You had to pay them that day. And it's probably the price of a day's labor. And about the third hour, the Jews divided their days into 12 equal parts or hours, beginning at sunrise and ending at sunset. And so this was about 9 o'clock in the morning when they first came here. And this parable, I cannot recall ever preaching on it, but it talks about people coming into the kingdom at various times in their lives, or we can relate it to that. And some come into the kingdom of God early. Here, 9 a.m., people wanted to work, and so they came to work, and there was actually people in that time really wanted to work.
But by this time, some were standing idle in the marketplace here because no one had hired them as a day worker. And you know, there's a time when God deals with people about their soul. There's a time when God talks to people's hearts. God wishes that all would be saved, and that's His will. Because Jesus didn't die for certain ones to be saved. Jesus died for whosoever will. Amen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, there's a time when God deals with people about their souls. God wishes all to be saved, to receive forgiveness. And God wishes people to make the right choice. God has created mankind as free moral agents. Matter of fact, we have the right to choose whatever we want. We have to choose. I mean, it's no choice to me. Heaven or hell, I'll choose heaven any day. Praise God. But God has given us the power of choice. Free moral agency of mankind. And here they were agreed to work for a certain amount. And if we relate this down to New Testament theology, we do not work for God in order to obtain salvation or eternal life, because if we did, we'd all fall short. But God graciously gives time, and God gives this life for salvation. You got one life to live. I know there's some foolish soap opera was coming to call that, I think. But the truth is, we do have one life to live. We have this opportunity to do something with Jesus, and God requires everybody to do something with Christ. And so God has given us graciously this time, this lifetime, for salvation, for reconciliation, time to make up our mind what we want to do with Jesus and whatever we want to do with our soul and our eternity. You know, God's very gracious to give us a lifetime and to give us the time to choose. And for time to work everything out in our mind for we'll decide the best thing is God in heaven. Amen. And so, we don't work to obtain salvation, but on the agreed price for our sins. And when a person comes to Christ, they have agreed that the payment for their sin is death, separation, eternal separation from God. And that our sins deserve death, deserve punishment, deserve eternal separation from God. But Christ, if Christ wasn't in there would be no hope for anybody. But because Christ's death is a sin debt that is paid, we can rejoice. That's why we can sing today. That's the reason we can shout. That's the reason we can lift our hands and praise the Lord. Amen. It's the reason we can have confidence today and walk with God and live for God and know that we have a wonderful eternity in front of us, because God's grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. We're going to be with Him. We have a better day coming, friend. Praise the Lord. And here, while the owner was offering a wage for work, some were still standing idle in the workplace, waiting for somebody to hire them. But you know, people stand idle in their lives, procrastinate, put off, just make time for God, or many never make time for God. Many decide not to commit their lives to Christ. They'll say, well, I'll do that on my deathbed. But it's put off over and over again till too often it's too late. They hadn't considered that particular time would be their last hour, last opportunity. And there's revelation of this in Scripture in Acts 24:24. And Paul here would talk to Felix, the governor, wasn't a cat. And Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And I can only imagine Paul preaching right here. I'm sure that Paul left no words unsaid of the certainty of judgment, if not Christ, and certainty of the penalty for sin. He left nothing out, I'm sure. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith. And I just would think probably Paul talked to him about his salvation, his conversion on the Damascus Road, how he was converted. And we know that a little bit about what he talked to him, because it says here that now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. You say, well, I thought we were just supposed to preach about the love of God. We are. And if we really preach about the love of God, we've got to preach that God loves us enough to save us from judgment. And so as Paul reasoned about this, about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, said, go away. Paul, you're through here. Go away now, for when I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. How many people are in hell right now that were waiting for a more convenient time? I don't know if Felix ever found a convenient time. Amen. But I want to tell you, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Today is accepted time. There's not a better place nor better time to make things right with God than when God's dealing with you right now. Amen. So he said, when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. And so here he was, standing idle. I wondered if he was standing idle till the day that he passed from this life. I hope that he called upon God. I don't know. And the time people come into the kingdom, whatever time people come into God's family, they come on the same conditions. Whether it's the third hour of the day, sixth hour of the day, ninth hour of the day, or the last hour of the day, 11th hour. And people come on the same condition, that is of grace. Amen. And you say, well, grace means you can get by with anything. No, grace means you get by with nothing. Grace means God is willing to forgive whatever you've done. And that is wonderful, because God loves us so much. When I was growing up, not much grace was preached. They preached about everything. They'd send you the lake of fire for nearly anything. And, you know, one fellow that was raised that way, he said, you know, I went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. He said, if you didn't get saved on Sunday night, you're probably going to hell before Wednesday night. And he said, if you waited all week, you sure were going to respond to the altar call on Sunday morning, because you didn't want to die and go to hell that week. However, God does save us, and God's grace is sufficient, and it's God that draws people, and there is such a thing. God is long-suffering and kind and tender of mercy. When God forgives you, you're forgiven. Amen. And God doesn't hold it against you. But here the landowner, he finds some standing idle in the marketplace. And some probably were waiting for a bigger wage, a better deal. And some today will not be saved because they're still standing idle, waiting for a better deal and waiting until it's too late. Let's look at this for a moment. There's examples in Scripture about that. We find that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God told him that a flood was going to come upon the earth, and he began to build an ark, a huge boat. And I'm sure as he built that ark that people walked around and said, hey, old man, why are you building that boat? It hadn't even rained yet. And I'm sure they made fun of Noah. And the Bible does say he was a preacher of righteousness. He was told there's a flood coming up on this earth and I'm building this boat. And if you want to be saved, you better get on board. But we know that nobody got on board except his own family. He had a congregation of eight, started with eight, and ended with eight. Man, he didn't ever get called to give a church growth conference. He started with eight and ended with eight. And so Noah, a preacher of righteousness, all stood idle until the rain of God's judgment began to fall. But when the rains of God's judgment, a global flood, began to fall, it didn't stop day or night for 40 days and 40 nights until the whole earth and every mountain and every peak was covered with water. People had too long had been standing idle, and it was too late. It was their last hour. In this last hour that we live in, some will be deceived, As a matter of fact, in the book of 1 John, it says, you know, that there are many antichrist, many that are anti-Christian. There are people who claim to be Christ. None of them have been or will be. But still standing idle, waiting for another way to heaven, another way to face eternity, and waiting for a different gospel that's a little bit easier. My friend, if God offers the gospel and offers salvation free, you can't get better than that. Amen. And I was... pardon my personal illustrations, but that's what I've got. I have people come to me occasionally wanting gas or food. And so a particular person came to me and said, I want some gas. I said, okay. So we went down. We have a church policy where we give so much gas to people that are coming through and need help. And yes, we get people that don't need help. They just want something free. But we manage along. And after I got through giving her so much amount of gas, and she said, thank you. She said, now I need something from the convenience store over here. And I said, well, ma'am, all I'm allowed to do is to do one thing here, and I've got you $25 worth of gas, and you can go on your way. She said, but isn't there... said, is that all? I said, ma'am, I can't do better than free. You got free. Amen. That kind of ended the conversation. But when God has offered all, and the gift of salvation is free, God has done all He can do and done all He would do. He gave His only begotten Son, the greatest treasure of heaven, to get you saved, to get you on your way to heaven instead of hell. I'll tell you something, friend. You can't do better than that, because He offers it free. In this last hour, people will be deceived, looking for a better way, a different gospel. And people have done this for years, tried to figure out. There's people rewritten their Bible to make it their own Bible, so to make a Bible that they can live by, that they like better. It lets them get more by with most stuff. And Paul faced this, and he dealt with the church at Corinth. And he said, if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And not only that church, but the church in Galatia. Paul had problems with that church because they wanted to mix something or add something to the gospel to make it better. And let me just say this, what Jesus did on the cross, you can't add to it or make it better, because it's going to make it sinful if mankind adds something to it. And Jesus was sinless, so it's the best deal we can get. It's the only deal. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to the church at Galatia, he says, I marvel that you so are turning away so soon from Him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. The gospel is free. Come, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me. Amen. I'll write your name in heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll give you a new life. You can pick up, start over from here, and begin to follow me. And Paul says here to the church in Galatia, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul makes a bold statement here, and he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what you have preached, we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Man. Let him be accursed. Paul says there's no other way. To be cursed is to be separated from God eternally. And I look at people in the Scriptures and I say, you know, we pick on Judas a lot. Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Christ. But Judas stood idle too long. I mean, he had a greater revelation of God than most people have. He was even at one point appointed with the 12 and 70 others to empowered at one time to minister in the Spirit's power. But somewhere in Judas's life, unbelief entered and he began to love things and self and money more than he loved this Jesus that he walked with. And we know that he failed in his last hour. Judas failed. And he even went as far as to betray his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in that day. And for 30 pieces of silver, he sold his soul to the devil. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his own soul?" And the Bible sadly says that Judas went out and hanged himself, and by transgression he fell. And so that was his end. Even as Jesus had warned him before, it says, "Woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good, better for that man if he had never been born." But knowing and having that revelation, yet he made the choice to deny his Lord. But when you know Jesus is Savior, let me give you some good news here. You will be ushered into God's everlasting kingdom. You will stand uncondemned, accepted as a child of God. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now," not later, but now, "no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." My friend, if you're free from the law of sin and death, you're free. You've got heaven ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:15, "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Beloved, now we are the sons of God, children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we'll know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifieth himself just as he is pure. My friend, the gospel is final. Praise the Lord. These people came through in the parable, and each one received a denarii, the common day's wages, even those that came in at the final hour, the last hour, 11 o'clock. And those that came in at 9 o'clock thought they should receive more. But the master of the vineyard said, "Is it not my own free will to give each one as I please? Or is it not my money to give?" And so we know that he came in. And you say, "Well, it's not fair. You know, people can go to heaven that they're saved on their deathbed, and people that have lived to God for 40 years, they go to heaven too. It's the same. It's just not fair." Who am I, you, to decide what's fair and what's not fair? It's not fair that any of us are saved. It is the reward according to the grace of God, and that's the reason he saved us. Amen. And God graciously saved us when we were undeserving of it. Amen. And I don't think when heaven there's going to be some people saying, "Well, my crown's bigger than yours, or my reward's bigger than yours, or I've got more gold in my mansion than you've got." I don't think there's going to be any competition in heaven. You'll be glad that you're born again of God's Spirit, that you belong to God, that somewhere along the line you made the choice to serve God and live for God, and now you're in heaven forever. My friend, you can't get better than that. Hallelujah. Whatever time a person enters God's family, the main thing is that they entered. The reward is still the same. When you surrender to Christ, you get heaven instead of hell. You get eternal forgiveness. You get eternal love. Amen. Romantic love is not eternal, usually. It's supposed to last a lifetime. Eternal hope. Not just temporary hope, but eternal hope. You get eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life, instead of eternal condemnation and separation from God. My friend, I can think of nothing worse than to be separated from the love and the mercy of God forever. What would it be like to enter eternity and never one word of encouragement or strength, or not ever one word of hope that it would ever be any different, but just fire, 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 pain, 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 nothing of mercy? My friend, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want to love God, serve him no matter. You don't want to make any excuse for not serving God. You want to love him. I realize I may take maybe talking to all this morning to born again people I don't know, but my friend, God has done so much.
And salvation through the blood of Christ never changes. It's perfect blood. The only blood that can erase sin, because there had to be perfect sinless blood for there to ever be atonement for sin. Not my blood or your blood, but the blood of Christ. Amen. And by the power of God's blood, it washes, it sanctifies, it justifies. God's blood makes you clean. Faith in His blood makes you clean. It washes, it sanctifies. We don't like the word sanctification very much, because it means separation from evil and devotion to God. And we surely need to be separated from evil, even though we live in an evil world. God will do that. He'll help you. And God's blood justifies. That means the blood of Christ declares you not guilty. Praise the Lord. In the natural, many man-made solutions are there to erase things that have been made dirty, to clean your carpet and to clean your house. Some people hire people to clean their house. Some people think the house cleans itself, but it's not, but it doesn't. But in the spiritual, it is limited to one cleansing. And it took one perfect lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God. One day, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He was saying there, this is the final sacrifice that's going to atone fully for your sins. It's not going to be by the blood of lambs and goats anymore. It's going to be by one sacrifice, the fulfillment of all Old Testament sacrifices. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received from your aimless conduct from tradition by your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot." There's no other blood like it. When you say in your hair, "Lord, I believe your blood was shed for my sin. I confess my sin. Would you please forgive me?" He will. And you're washed and clean, made whiter than the driven snow because of His blood. Without spot or blemish, perfect, acceptable to God. Amen. My friend, we're about to enter eternity. There's no condemnation. There is no bad news. Praise God, we're going to enter a heaven that's perfect, without sin, without shame, without blame. Amen. We're going to enter a heaven that has no sorrow, sickness, sin, or death, no hospitals, no funeral homes. I want to tell you something, we're about to enter life eternal. And it could be sudden, it could be now. Praise the Lord. So the reward for these went in the garden. It was not idleness. It was not wait till the last hour. But it was enter now, and you'll be rewarded for giving your heart to Jesus. And as we partake the emblems of communion here, we are to celebrate God's gracious offer until He returns. Paul said, as long as you eat this bread and drink this blood, you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So we're to never forget what the awful price it took to make me and you heaven ready, the blood of Christ. Amen.